have read in the Bible that God so loves sinners that he let his son die in their place. Paid the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guy. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guy, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
Before I begin the message today, I want to mention a special offer concerning some cassette tapes. Recently, we have just finished preaching two series of messages dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first series has to do with the rapture, which is the first phase of his second coming. And in this series, we deal thoroughly and in detail with the subject of the rapture. The second series has to do with the revelation, which is the second phase of his second coming. And in this series, we deal with the subject of the revelation. Now, the first series involving the rapture consists of 15 separate messages recorded on 8 cassette tapes, while the second series involving the revelation consists of 13 separate messages recorded on 7 cassette tapes. And at this time, we're offering each of these series separately for a gift of $12 each. Or you can obtain both of these series for a gift of only $20. We're offering both the Rapture and the Revelation. We're offering both of these series separately for a gift of $12 each. Or both of these series together for only $20. And if you want one or both of these series, just write us at the address given at the end of the broadcast requesting what series that you desire. And the money that you send for these tapes will be used entirely for the purchasing of radio time and the preaching of the Word of God. We'll be expecting your letter soon. Today, we're going to bring the first part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? And to do so, we're going to be reading a passage found in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, that being verses 10 through 17. And here in this passage, the Word of God says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of life. And as we bring the first part of this series today, I pray that you'll bless in a special way. I pray for every believer that's listening to this broadcast today. I pray for that believer that may be discouraged. I pray for that believer that may be cold and indifferent and in a backslidden condition. Lord, I pray for that believer that may be under heavy fire and attack from the devil. I pray that you'll do for them that which needs to be done. And Lord, at the same time, I pray that you'll save that soul that is nearest eternity without Christ. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the first part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? And during this series, we're going to be dealing with the believer's warfare. And we are going to be examining primarily Ephesians chapter 6 with verses 10 through 20. But before that we begin to deal with these verses, there are some things that we need to say by way of introduction concerning the book of Ephesians and this particular chapter. Now the books of Ephesians and Colossians has been referred to as the twin epistles. And this has been said because there are 18 similarities or parallels between these two particular books. My friend, if you will read the first chapter of each of these books, you will find the first parallel. The opening chapter of each of these books speaks about the matter of prayer. And you'll find, my friend, that both of these passages are very much alike. Then, if you will read the last chapter of each of these books, you will find the last similarity. The last chapter in each of these books speaks about a brother in the Lord by the name of Tychicus. And if you will study and compare these two books, you will find that altogether there are 18 similarities or parallels. But although there is a remarkable resemblance, there is also a difference. And the difference lies in the fact that the book of Ephesians deals primarily with the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ, which is the church, the true church of the living God. And in the book of Ephesians, the church is spoken of as a body, as a building, and as a bride. Then when we come to the book of Colossians, we find that the book of Colossians deals primarily not with the body, but with the head of the body, which is none other than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Most certainly He is. And when we come to the book of Colossians, we find that this book emphasizes the glory of Jesus Christ. So we find that there is a difference between these two books. The book of Ephesians deals primarily with the body, while the book of Colossians deals primarily with the head of the body, or the head of the church, which is none other than Jesus Christ. Now, when we come to the book of Ephesians, we find that this book consists of two divisions. First, in chapters 1 through 3, we have the calling and design of the church. Then following, in chapters 4 through 6, we have the conduct and duty of the church. And my friend, this is the correct order. Calling always comes before conduct. Most certainly it does. Proper conduct springs from a correct understanding of one's calling. My friend, a believer in Christ must understand the dignity of their calling before they will ever understand their duty as a Christian. Duty springs from doctrine. Most certainly it does. And this is always the order that they are presented in the books that God used Paul to write. You will always find that doctrine is mentioned first, then duty, calling, then conduct, wealth, then walk, position, then practice, revelation, then responsibility. This is always the order in Paul's writings. Now, when we come to the second division of the book of Ephesians, which is chapters 4 through 6, we find four outstanding things mentioned. Number one, we find that the Christian is to walk characteristically in chapter number 4. Second, the Christian is to walk consistently in chapter number 5. Third, the Christian is to walk carefully in chapter number 5. And then fourth, the Christian is to war courageously in chapter number 6. Here in Ephesians 6, the believer's warfare is dealt with. Now in the various chapters that make up the book of Ephesians, we find that Paul deals with the believer in a little bit different way. In Ephesians chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. Then, in chapter 6, we have the believer's warfare. And when we come to Ephesians chapter 6, with verses 10 through 20, we find that in these verses, there are two things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, There is the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Then second, there is the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now during this series entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? We're going to be dealing with the believer's warfare. And we are going to be examining Ephesians chapter 6 with verses 10 through 20. And at this time, I want to begin dealing with verse number 10. And here in this verse, Paul says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now this word finally here tells us that Paul had reached his closing exhortation. And here he gathers up the whole previous subject of the epistle into an urgent reminder of the solemn condition under which the believer's life is lived. My friend, the believer's life is lived on the battlefield. Most certainly it is. Now the book of Ephesians has been referred to as the jewel of the epistles. It has been referred to as the holy of holies of the epistles. And this has been said because in the book of Ephesians, the phrase heavenly places is used a total of 5 times. My friend, this phrase heavenly places in the book of Ephesians tells us that this is a lofty epistle. Most certainly it is. It is a lofty epistle which takes the believer into the heavenlies. My friend, if you will read Ephesians chapter number 2, you will find that the Word of God makes it very clear that positionally, the believer is seated with Christ, in Christ, in heaven, right now. Not at a later time, but right now. Are you listening? The Word of God clearly teaches that the believer, judicially, is not someone on this earth looking toward heaven. But judicially, the believer is someone in heaven looking back towards this earth. And we find that the book of Ephesians is a lofty epistle which takes the believer into the heavenlies. But my friend, here in closing this epistle, we see a sudden change. We see a sudden change because Paul here, he mentions the battlefield. The battlefield. In Ephesians chapter number 5, Paul deals with the home and family. Then in chapter number 6, he deals with the hellish foes. So here we see a sudden change. Now here in verse 10, Paul uses the word finally, and he says, Finally, my brethren. Now this word finally suggests 2 things. Number 1, it suggests a conclusion. Number 2, it suggests a commitment. You see, my friend, this word finally means the rest or remainder. And right here in Ephesians chapter 6, in the closing chapter of this book, Paul introduces something new. Right here in Ephesians chapter number 6, we find a call to arms. We find that Paul condescends to a battlefield. Now, why does he do this? Why does he condescend to a battlefield in closing this lofty epistle? My friend, I believe the answer is this. The believer's life is lived on a battlefield. In the Word of God, believers are referred to as sons, as saints, as servants, as sheep, as strangers, and as soldiers. And at this time, I want to say a word concerning 2 of these terms. First, believers in the Word of God are referred to as strangers. This is found to be so in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11. And this verse should be compared with Philippians chapter 3 with verses 20 and 21. Like in this chapter in the book of Philippians, clearly teaches that a believer is a citizen of heaven, a citizen of heaven. And as long as the believer is in this world, they are in a foreign country. Therefore, they are referred to as strangers in the Word of God. Not only that, believers are also referred to as soldiers in the Word of God. This is found to be so in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. Now, when we put both of these terms together, we find that they tell us that the believer is a soldier in a warfare in a foreign country. Yea, in enemy territory. Yes, on enemy ground. On enemy ground. And I say that because the believer is in this world, but they are not of this world. So the believer is a soldier in a warfare in a foreign country. Now listen to me, my friend. Someone recently made the statement and said, isn't it fun being a Christian? That's what they said. Now listen to me. I well realize that the Christian life has been presented as a bed of roses. And I'll agree with that. The Christian life is a bed of roses. But it's a bed of roses with the thorns. With the thorns. My friend, the believer isn't meant to have a life of religious ease here in this world. Many seem to think that the believer is to be a spineless, speechless, strengthless nobody standing around with a silly smile on their face. But that's not so, because the Word of God tells us that the believer is a soldier in God Almighty's army. Now the policy of non-interference, which pleases so many politicians today, has no place in the believer's life when it comes to this matter of the believer's warfare. The policy of non-interference has no place in the believer's life who is a soldier in God Almighty's army. Listen to me. If many people had their way right here in the United States of America, they'd sit back and let the communists take over everything and say, let's be good little boys. We don't want to make anybody mad. And you know I'm telling the truth. Now I might as well set the record straight right now. My friend, when a person stands up in America and declares that they are a communist, and they are in agreement with the communist, it is at that time that that person ought to be booted out of the United States of America. They ought to be booted out of the United States of America. We don't need their kind in this country. Now we'll realize that you might say, preacher, I don't like that. And the reason that some of you don't like that statement that I just made is because you're one of the very gang that I'm talking about. Now, while that we've already mentioned the communists, I want to make another statement. But before I do, I want to make something very clear. I am not a politician. I'm a preacher. God called me to preach. Preach the word. Therefore, I'm a preacher. I'm not a politician. And therefore, by the grace of God, you'll never hear me get on the radio and play the role of a politician and politic. But the statement that I'm getting ready to make, I'm going to make it as a preacher of the gospel. My friend, I believe that the Word of God teaches that this country of ours should have a strong defense. The Word of God declares and teaches that this country should have a strong defense. My friend, the Russians would bomb us into the dust of the earth today if they thought they could get away with it and conquer our land. Oh, yes. That God-hating, Christ-rejecting, cutthroat gang of Russians would attack this nation today if they knew they could get away with it. This nation needs a strong defense. But my friend, when it comes to the believer and this matter of fighting the good fight of faith, for the believer to sit back and not fight is to be at peace with the devil. And this is wrong in God's sight. That's as far as we're going today with the first part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? Now listen to me, my friend. If you're listening to this broadcast today and you've been saved by the grace of God, you are a soldier in the Lord's army. And it might be that right now you're just about ready to throw in the towel and call it quits. It might be that right now you're under fire and pressure from the devil and his crowd. If so, remember, God cares for his own. He has never failed one of his own, and he's not going to start now by failing you. My friend, if you look to the captain, which is none other than Jesus Christ, and allow him to strengthen you, you will be able to stand in the hour of battle. And then if you're listening to this broadcast today and you're lost, you've never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you're not a soldier in the Lord's army. You're not on the Lord's side, but you're on the devil's side. And you need to be saved by the grace of God. Right now, I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart, exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you, and He will, and you'll know it. Thank you. In the Lord's